Grace and peace to you from our Lord and Savior, who is the Christ. Amen. So I've mentioned her before, Pastor Nadia Boetz-Weber. She's a colleague of mine, also an ELCA pastor. She's written a book just last year, I believe it was, called Pastrix. And in that book, she talks about this this reading from Matthew's Gospel. And she talks about a time when she was talking to, not preaching to, but more of like having a dialogue with pastors from the ELCA, our denomination, but pastors who are either returning to the roster, as we call it, returning to ordained status, or having just been returned to ordained status. And this collection of pastors were men and women who had been removed from the roster or denied ordination simply because of their sexual orientation. And so she's talking to these folks, and she's referring to this text, and she focuses on the landlord, not on the workers in the field, but on the landlord. And what she says is this. She said, what makes this image, this parable, the kingdom of God, is not the worthiness or the piety, or she says, the social justiciness, or the hard work of the laborers. None of that, she said, matters. It's the fact that the landowner couldn't manage to keep out of the marketplace. The landowner kept coming back over and over, interrupting lives, coming to get his people. She said, it's like grace tapping us on the shoulder and putting us to work. And she said, so I reminded those seven pastors specifically gathered together that the kingdom of God was just like that exact moment in which sinners and saints are reconciled to God and to one another. And in the end, she said, their calling and their value in the kingdom of God not comes from the approval of a denomination or other works, she said, but their value in the kingdom of God comes in their having been come and gotten by God. It's the pure and unfathomable mercy of a God that defines them and says, pay attention, this is for you. In Matthew's account here, Jesus tells this parable right after the apostle Peter demanded and said, we have left everything to come and follow you. Jesus, what's in it for us? And this parable that we heard from today happens right before the story of the mother of James and John requesting special privileges for her sons because they have, quote, borne the burdens of the day by joining Jesus and his ministry. I think we have to pay attention to not just this parable, but what comes before and what comes after. And I think we can understand this parable as sort of a gentle rebuke or reminder or challenge to the disciples regarding their ongoing, and I'll say discussion, because sometimes they think it probably got rather heated, over who will be the best and will be at the most privileged place in the Messiah's new kingdom that was to come. It's one kingdom that they still imagined coming complete with money and glory and prestige and power. But we know, or we think we know, that that's not the kingdom that Jesus was talking about or describing. The sort of kingdom that Jesus says in this parable, for example, is that you don't earn your way to the top. In fact, there is no top. But there's even more, I think, in this parable. There's more at work in this story, I think, that we need to pay attention to. Notice, for example, that the landowner finds workers in the marketplace, an everyday place. This means that whether they arrived early in the morning or late in the afternoon, they were all looking for work. And they were all, each one of them, tapped on the shoulder and recruited into the vineyards by, I think, a micromanaging landowner who likes to take care of every little bit of detail. And that landowner kept coming back over and over again throughout the day, back to hire people that I think nobody else wanted. So it's telling us that anyone who wants to work, according to this landowner, will find work. Even if they show up late, even if they've slept in and missed the boat, if you will, even if they stumble into the marketplace tired, or even hungover, or uncertain, or sick, even if nobody else wants them, they got to work. To this landowner, it wasn't about being qualified. It wasn't about having the right tools or the right skill sets or the best resume. To this landowner, it's about being called and chosen. It's about being invited to join into the work, if even just for a few hours in the dusk, the end of the day. So notice, too, that the landowner pays a fair wage to every person, regardless of how much they've worked. No one in the story goes away deprived. No one in the story is shortchanged. And what scandalizes this text is the workers who arrived early in the vineyard, they weren't cheated by the landowner, but their co-workers also benefited from this landowner's generosity without, in our terms, by earning it, right? It's funny, I think. It's funny how something actually that is good can suddenly seem like less than simply because it's shared. I think it's a really universal and familiar reaction, and it's easy for us to see ourselves in this story. Think about it. If you had been working all day long in the field and your counterpart had only worked a couple hours or an hour or less, and they got the same pay, we know what we would say. It's not fair. I've been gypped. I should be paid more because I worked longer and therefore am more tired. We live and operate in a culture that idolizes success and, frankly, idolizes self-sufficiency, where gifts, even, are expected to be deserved. And we don't even like to say it, but I think it's true. Gifts, we think, are often worked for and earned. It's not this sort of kingdom that Jesus is talking about. It's not that sort of kingdom that Jesus is describing. It's not about the pay. It's about the work. You don't pull yourselves up by your own bootstraps. You simply get taken by the hand and led into the field. And then I think there's a punchline. There's a sort of the most important or the crux of the story here. Am I not allowed, says the landowner, am I not allowed to do with what I choose with what belongs to me? And then the most important question I think that the landowner asks, or are you envious because I am generous? Are you envious because I am generous? I just sit with that for a little while this week. Because, yeah, sometimes I think I am. Really, this parable isn't about the workers. We sometimes like to focus on the workers, but really I think it's about the landowner himself. In other words, it's about the landowner's goods. It's about the fact that it's God's vineyard, if we're going to use it as a metaphor. It's about the fact that it's God's table, God's kingdom, God's world, God's creation. We don't get to make the invitation list. We don't get to hand out the gifts. We don't get to choose who's in and who's out, or who's good enough or who's not good enough. It's a good thing, too, at least in my case, because I think I would try to make sure that it's all fair. I would try to make sure that everybody gets what they deserve. And frankly, I don't think I'd make very good choices. The good news is this. God isn't fair. God isn't at all fair. God is irrationally and irresponsibly generous. God's mercies are infinite. They aren't finite like my own thinking. And in some ways, I think God's mercy is even offensive. surprising and shocking. We think that the miracle is that our coworkers get to share in the reward, but I think the miracle in this story is that any of us get to share in the work at all. The miracle is that God comes to the marketplace, pulls us out, hands us shovels and baskets and clippers, and says, "Go to work." I think if we want in this kingdom, if we desire to be in this kingdom of God's, if we want to have a part of this work, I pray that we are able to set aside our small notions of what it means to deserve, of what it means to be fair, and what it means to earn. Because what makes God's grace offensive isn't who it leaves out, but always who it lets in. And that, my friends, starts with me and with you. Fair has nothing to do with it. Nadia Boltz-Weber, Pastor Weber, would say, "We have a come and gotten by God. God comes and gets us, regardless. A God who comes and takes us into the fold, takes us into the kingdom, into the vineyard. We are called to stop looking at one another to decide if everything is fair and in control and safe. We don't get to choose. And even if we did, we're reminded by this parable that it's not fair and it's not safe. It's not even close. We serve at the pleasure of a really generous and abundant God. And there's plenty of good work to do. And we each have a portion to it. So I think the crux of this is that it's just time to get to work. So just do it. Stop analyzing and critiquing and wondering if it's fair enough, because it's just not. So let's work. Amen.